Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
He's on the line right now is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Rick Bucher. Insider calls are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Rick, Joe, and Evan, how are you?
Hi, Rick. How are you?
I am good, Joe and Evan. How are you guys?
Oh, doing all right.
Wonderful. He's a Knicks fan. I'm a Net fan. So Life in New York right now is not very good.
Yeah, it's not great basketball right now.
Terrible basketball.
No, you are right. But did you expect? This is where we have to start. I would imagine with the Nets, you expected it to be bad.
Yes. No, I didn't expect it to be bad. I expected them to grow from last year. They won 42 games last year. I was hoping Caris LeVert wasn't going to get hurt again. I was hoping that wasn't going to happen. I was hoping Kyrie would actually play, and now he's missed three straight games. So, no, I'm ticked.
Exactly. And on the Knicks side of things, you didn't expect – what did you expect? You didn't expect – flirting with playoffs. You didn't expect them to be better than the Nets, did you?
No, definitely not. But let me ask you that. With the Knicks in mind, they're plus 580 tonight against the Sixers in Philly on the money line. Should I go there or what?
Plus 580.
That's a big number.
Money line to win outright.
Yeah.
So he's getting odds to win outright, to pull off an upset in Philly against the Sixers.
That's
team
a big number.
Had their issues.
I will say this: if I was a betting man, I would take that bet actually, because I don't like the way Philly has played, and I really like the way the Knicks have responded from the Steve Mills
right
Scott
after,
Perry
after
going
that
to the
bowl
podium
disaster right yes. Cleveland not Bulls the Cleveland it
the
was.
Cleveland yeah, yeah. The Cavs
right,
disaster
right,
they
right.
played really well, and that was really a response to the way they were playing at home. They've played well on the road consistently this year. They lost two games on buzzer beaters. So considering where they are right now, I'm not saying you're going to win, but that bet makes me feel good.
It makes me feel
really smart if I won it.
Yeah.
Well, and they also make you feel pretty good about the money you put in your
pocket. Right.
And that too, yes.
It's one of those smart bets because Philadelphia
it's a
has
good value
struggled.
Bet.
It's a great
it's a
value,
good value bet.
Bet.
I will say that.
And Rick, to your point, since they had that bizarre post-game press conference on a Sunday night, even though they've had some tough losses, the Hornet game on Saturday was a brutal loss. They've had some bad losses. They've played a lot better, and it leads me to this. Is that improvement of play going to ultimately save Coach Fizdale, or is he bound to get fired anyway at some point?
No, I believe that if they continue on this road, to me it's a response to the possibility of Fizdale going. And I believe that these players like playing for him. He has – keep in mind, we look at the pedigree from the Miami Heat. We look at the fact that he was with the Memphis Grizzlies. But coaching this particular team would be a challenge – for any head coach, and not to say that there isn't some talent and that I expected them to be better out of the gate. I expect them to be competitive. I don't know how many games they're going to win, but I expect them to be competitive. But in order to take full advantage of what he has, you really have to manipulate your roster. You have to be, you don't have a set rotation. In Memphis, you had Mike Conley, you had Marc Gasol, you could go in there and it was just kind of plug and play. This is really more nuanced. And I think that Fiz has struggled a little bit figuring out his rotation and his minutes distribution. But I honestly, when Steve and Scott Perry came out and had that press conference, that earlier was like, oh, he's throwing Fiz under the bus. I thought it was purposeful to say it was a message to the players as much as the fans. To say, hey, look, we're not accepting these blowout losses at home, but also, subliminally, hey, if you guys still want to play for Fiz, you still want him to be the coach here, then you guys need to give a little more effort and energy. And we've seen it; they've responded. So to me, that's what I expected from this team. Again, talent, we can go back and forth,
right?
But Julius Randle, Morris, like you go down the line, Taj Gibson, these are hardworking guys. And they weren't demonstrating that on a consistent basis.
What's concerned me about Fizdale is, especially offensively, his in-game coaching has left a lot to be desired. And some of the decisions he's made has been left a lot to be desired. Like in that Charlotte game, he didn't have R.J. Barrett on the floor for the final play. And he gave some BS of, well, I wanted to stretch the floor and have Wayne Ellington out there. Wayne Ellington hadn't played a second in that game. And R.J. Barrett has been one of the Knicks' best players. So, and that's just one example of many. I'm not going to go through the whole list. If you wanted, we could. But his in-game coaching, Rick, has left a lot to be desired from what we've watched over these first 14 games.
Yeah, and I can't argue or debate that. But to me, that's where, like, the balance of knowing how many minutes you've played each guy, knowing how particular groups fit together in certain situations, especially with the game on the line, having a feel for that and having a decided, this is the way we're going. These are the combinations that I know I like and work on in these matchups. I just feel like Fizz is still finding his way, and we're going through that learning process. I do believe this. I do believe he'll figure it out. He has, I mentioned the Miami pedigree. Like, I've seen Fizz work. I know he knows what it takes to win. He's just, like, look, he hasn't been a head coach all that long. And last year was, I don't even know, you're not gaining any experience last year. You're just throwing things out on the floor and seeing what works. Now this year, this takes some real coaching, and it takes some really specific understanding of your roster. Because look, the second unit and the first unit, there's really no difference. And I guarantee you, he's still trying to figure out who plays best with whom, and that's why you're seeing some of the decisions that you're seeing.
Who do you like in the East? You like Boston, you like Philly, you like Milwaukee. I mean, even Toronto has played really well, even without Kawhi. How about that right now, Rick?
Honestly, the team that I like the most as far as has Boston surprised me? Sure. The Miami Heat have definitely surprised me, and I don't think that's a mirage. I think they're going to be a tough, I think they're going to continue with this, and I think they're going to be a tough playoff team. I think Toronto, I think people dismiss them because Kawhi left. If you look at the minutes that Kawhi played and you look at how they played when he wasn't on the floor, will they miss him in the postseason? Because you question, okay, so who's your go-to guy that's going to hit, you know, a corner three that's going to hit the rim 16 times and then fall in? Fair enough question, but I just believe that the experience that they gained collectively last year and the relative youth of some of their meaningful players like Fred VanVleet and Pascal Siakam, there's no situation that they are going to face during the regular season that's ever going to faze them, because they're like, we face these pressure situations with a series on the line. Like, they're not going to be intimidated, and they have some guys that I think are only getting better. So people dismiss the Toronto Raptors as a team that could come out of the East the second that Kawhi committed to the Clippers. I believe they're still very much in the mix.
Hey,
because
you didn't look that way.
And
I got to admit, Rick, I'd be the first to tell you, I dismissed them too, because your points you're making are very fair about what they've experienced and how well they played without Kawhi, which we knew about. I just thought it was going to be so different. Knowing that guy's coming back a day later is different than not thinking the guy's walking through that door, which he isn't. But it comes down to Siakam has really taken that step into looking like a star. I mean, he's going to win. We were saying this the other day. He's going to win most improved 2 years in a row, which is almost impossible.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah. The real question is going to be, you know, during the regular season, they can still mix and match. Fred VanVleet's going to hit some shots, and Kyle Lowry's healthy. You can go to him. You still got enough other pieces that you can go to. It's going to be once you get to the postseason and it's 7 seconds or left.
Right.
You need a bucket. You're down by one. Can Pascal Siakam, with the whole defense geared to stop him, can he make a play? Can he get a bucket, or can he find the right guy to knock it down? But I just look, and this is as much a reflection of the rest of the East.
Sure.
Boston.
Sure.
Boston's not selling me on anything. I'm not blown away by them. Philadelphia has their usual problems. Milwaukee's still a big question mark in terms of can Giannis take that next step? I think they're going to miss Malcolm Brogdon. And so I think the East is wide open, and Toronto may sneak through there just based on their experience.
All right, I'm worried about a lot of things as a Brooklyn Net fan. The one thing I don't want to worry about, I don't want to worry about this Dinwiddie tokenizing his contract stuff. So can you ease my concerns and say, listen, Evan, he's not going to get suspended. It's not going to become this, you know, big issue where he's not on the floor. Can you assure me that this Dinwiddie issue isn't going to become that big?
Knowing Dinwiddie and knowing Kenny Atkinson and Sean Marks, I mean, they have the DNA there. I want to say don't worry about it.
All right, good.
Now, I'm not there on a daily basis, so it's a little bit removed, but I'm going based on what I know about those guys and that culture. And, you know, the only wrinkle here is Kyrie Irving is now by default the leader of your team, which kind of like and there's some bad acting that goes around. You know, I look at what happened in Boston, and I think we all blamed it on Kyrie, but some of it was all the other guys getting disgruntled because of the presence of Kyrie and how he was treated.
Right.
And that's the element that, like, how's that affecting Spencer right now? But knowing what I know about him and his history and Kenny and Sean's ability to, like, get in front of things and not let them turn into a forest fire, I'm going to say you don't have anything to worry about.
You know
about.
What's funny, and maybe my view is going to change. Maybe we talk a month from now, I'm going to say something different. Kyrie Irving is, like, the least of my concerns. His leadership is not a concern right now. What's a concern is that what they put on the floor with him out is not good, that they have holes on this roster that they had last year, and that while you can easily say, don't worry, the big monster's coming next year, I'll worry about next year when next year comes. I want to win right now. I'm going to the game tonight. I don't want to lose to the Charlotte Hornets at home. I want to be a playoff team, and right now, I was there Monday night for the Indiana game, and that's an underrated team too, and they had tons of injuries to deal with as well. Right now, what concerns me, Rick, is when Kyrie's not there, where's the offense coming from? They're just not a good basketball team.
Yeah, no, and well, but here's the thing. They were a borderline good basketball team last year.
Sure, sure.
No, they caught everybody sleeping.
Yeah.
Let's face it, they were 42-40.
Yep.
I don't know if we would feel about them the same way if they had missed the playoffs as opposed to made the playoffs, and it was right down to the wire in terms of making it. The presence of Kyrie for me is this. It's that everybody got to touch the ball. They knew that collectively, everybody had to play a part. And now there's too many situations where it's when Kyrie is in the game, it's everybody standing around watching him getting things done. And defensively, you don't get the same energy. Offensively, you become a little more predictable. Guys don't work as hard when they're not touching the ball offensively. And it just... You know, they had a great symbiotic relationship of looking at each other and going, we can't win unless we all sacrifice for each other. And you take what is, you know, borderline mediocre team, and you give them the attitude that, oh, well, now we have Kyrie Irving, and you lose like that 1% of we got to be all in every night just to be able to get over 500. That can be the difference between what you saw last year and what you're seeing now.
But you know what? Here's the thing about last year, okay? Last year, D'Angelo Russell, who Kyrie Irving is replacing, he took 19 shots a game. I mean, D'Angelo Russell was dominating the basketball. He took tons of shots. And they've actually, at times, I think there has been good ball movement. I don't think it's all been give Kyrie the ball and stand around. Does that happen at times? Sure. Yeah, late in games, I've certainly seen it. And at times, it's tough to watch. But I don't think that's been the biggest issue with the offense. I think what's been a disappointment, man, is that Caris LeVert was supposed to stay healthy, and he was supposed to take a step, and that hasn't happened. You know, guys like that, that's what really jumps out at me, because I looked at, hey, they're adding Kyrie, replacing D'Angelo Russell, and guys should be better than what they were last year. They should improve from what they did last year, and that's just as part of what's not happened.
Well, and that's the other part, too, is there was a natural expectation that this team was going to be better this year than it was last year. And
yeah, right.
Based on the talent, I don't know that you look and say Joe Harris is going to be a better player and or Caris LeVert's history and say he's going to stay healthy this year because he hasn't.
He's injury prone. That's it. Enough. You're right.
There's plenty of reason to look at the Nets and go, they are who we thought they were.
Sure.
Like they're more who they are. They're supposed to be this year than they were last year. They might have fooled us last year. Then they came back to the norm this year. But we'll see. Look, it's still we're 10, 15 games
right,
in.
Right,
you've added
right.
a huge piece like Kyrie. There's still room. But like Jared Allen, if Jared Allen never goes beyond what he is right now, you know, he'll be a serviceable guy. But is he going to be the starting center on a second round playoff team? That might be a little too rich for his blood.
The Lakers are rolling right now. LeBron's been unconscious. You like them coming out of the West?
Actually, I was at the game. I was at Staples Center the last two nights. So I saw the Lakers last night. They're ahead of schedule. They look terrific. LeBron looks at, I'll be honest, I'll be the first to say it. I thought last year's injury was the sign of things to come.
Right, right. Slowing down towards the end.
Good Lord. And he has such a pep in his step and has so much energy and looks so good. It's scary. I have the Clippers because I believe that the Clippers' depth and their ability, their versatility in being able to play fast or slow, their perimeter shooting, I think they have a little bit more. And we haven't even seen Kawhi and Paul George play together yet. But I think defensively they're going to be ferocious defensively. But the Lakers are really good. And the thing that worries me about the Clippers is that everybody has told them how great they are and they might be the team to beat. And they seem to be smelling themselves. They haven't played consistently with the energy that I saw the first week. I was like, man, these guys are going to just destroy people. And then they took their foot off the gas. And meanwhile, the Lakers, a lot of that, LeBron, they're just biding their time. They're just coming out and doing what they need to do. So it's going to be, however this goes, it's going to be a fun time. But I'm going to roll with my Clippers pick at the beginning of the year, just because I just think I don't know if LeBron can maintain this at 35, and I've never been a believer in Anthony Davis. I think he's a tremendous talent, but I've seen too many situations where it's time for him to stand and deliver as a superstar player. And he's come up short.
We have seen year after year the Portland Trailblazers basically do better than what the quote experts think. And last year they got to the Western Conference Finals.
They've been in the playoffs.
Yes, they added Melo. They've been in the playoffs, I think it's seven straight years, whatever it is. They're off to a brutal start. I mean, and the problem is when you're in the West and you get off to a 5-10 start, getting out of that hole can be a little bit more difficult than when you're 8-18 in the Eastern Conference. Lillard's banged up with the back issue. Joe just mentioned Melo made his debut last night. Concerns at 5-10 for this Trailblazer team?
Yeah, I need to see them once Nurkic comes back and once Zach Collins comes back. They've been living on having Hassan Whiteside as not only their big, but as a big who knows he's going to get minutes. And it's hard for me to watch Hassan Whiteside. And just as a note to all those future GMs out there, anytime the Miami Heat decide to move on from a guy, you should probably take that as a clue that the guy's a dog.
That's a fair point, yes.
Because they generally don't do that unless it's a, you know, it's a somebody's just, you know, offering Tyler Johnson a ridiculous sum or whatever. But I Hassan Whiteside is just difficult to watch, and he's really antithetical to the whole DNA and chemistry of the Blazers, which is they're a hardworking team. They play for each other. It's the times where Hassan just doesn't even get a hand up on defense or is standing still and guys rolling by him for offensive rebounds. It's hard for me to watch, and you're not gonna get anybody on the Blazers with their leadership just ripping him. But I can tell you just reading the body language, there's a lot of frustration on with the veterans on that team with Whiteside. So Zach Collins, I really like. He's got a high motor. Nurkic, they've never been better than when he's rolling. So I still, you know, they can't dig that hole too deep, but I believe that they have the guys on the roster that once they're healthy, that that they can turn this around.
Mm. Rick, we appreciate it.
Thank
it,
Rick.
You very much.
Good
man.
Stuff. Really, thanks a lot.
You got it, fellas.
Thanks, Rick Bucher.
RickBucherRadio.com, Sports NBA Insider. Insider calls are, as always, are brought to you by Indeed. Post a job today at Indeed.com/hire. Make sure you check out Rick on Scal and Pals on Radio.com and the Radio.com app. Great listen for all NBA fans.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.